Father, we thank you, we praise you tonight, we give you all honor and all glory. Father, I'm asking you to move among these people. I'm asking you that you set them totally and completely free. I'm asking, Father God, that what you did this morning, you're going to increase tonight. I'm asking you, Father God, to change, rearrange, totally, completely, once and for all. And Father God, let the spiritual ears be open tonight. Spiritual understanding, the spiritual heart ready to receive the seed that you want to plant this evening. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to talk about the supernatural. In the days and years to come, it will not just be nice or exciting to live in the supernatural. It will be necessary for our survival. Why don't you get that in your spirit? In the days and years to come, it will not just be nice or exciting to live in the supernatural. It will be necessary for our survival. God said it's time to let all religion go, and you know, it's just spirit calling to spirit. Only those who have made it to the inner court by receiving the second baptism, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, are going to survive. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not going to survive. But those who have received the third baptism, which is a baptism of fire unto holiness, will do great exploits as sons of the kingdom. And this is what God's been trying to get the body of Christ to do, to get this third baptism, the baptism of fire unto holiness. Stage three, spirituality. In the tabernacle of Moses, the Holy of Holies was also called the tabernacle of witness. That was because what happened there proved the existence of God. The example, Aaron's rod budded and the Lord came down and met with Moses. They knew without a shadow of a doubt that God existed. Those that attain stage three spirituality, number one, become the abode of God, a tabernacle witness. Number two, they exude God. Number three, they radiate the presence of God and change the environment around them. Is that what we talked about this morning? Number four, they live in expectant faith. And five, they do signs and wonders which prove that God exists and dwells in them. That's what you need, those five things. We need to understand that when all the thrones of our souls are fully yielded to the Lord, we will come into a union experience with Him. We need to understand that when all the thrones of our souls are fully yielded to the Lord, we will come into a union experience with Him. Still have your thrones? Some of you do. It's not until you get rid of them that you're going to have a fellowship with the Father. It's not until you get rid of them that you're going to be a witness for God the way you need to be. It's not until you get rid of these things that God's going to be able to use you in the highways and the byways with great signs, wonders, and miracles. When we become a habitation of God, signs will follow, healings, prophecy, deliverance, and miracles. When we become a habitation of God, signs will follow, healings, prophecy, deliverance, and miracles. That is when we will see the full fulfillment of Jesus' promise in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. When you're truly filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be a witness for the Father. Not until then. You want to know what's wrong with you? Just, do you walk in the spirit or you still walk in the flesh? God longs to demonstrate his power through us. He's using us vessels through us. What does Satan do? He uses vessels to work through, doesn't he? Y'all see that all the time. God longs to demonstrate his power through us to prove his existence to a lost and dying world. Only when the world sees the word preached with signs following in the power of our God will they believe. Too many people are sitting in dead churches and they don't want the dead no more. They're looking for life. So what are we giving them? We giving them life or still death? We need to understand that Jesus is going to come to us before he comes for us. He's going to come to us before he comes for us. I'm glad of that. I don't know about you, because if he didn't come for us, I wouldn't be going to heaven, right? Come on. Acts 3:21 tells us heaven must retain Jesus. Number one, until the restoration of all things. Number two, until there is a people in whom the Lord is fully enthroned. Number three, a bridal company without spot or wrinkle. He's trying to get this accomplished, but saints of God, if he can't do it in the church, he's already went out to the highways and the byways. And you might be sitting here, amen and me, and shaking your head and going, mm-mm-mm. And God's going to bring somebody in from the world to take your place. Come on. He's going to restore all things. Whether he uses you or uses somebody else, he's going to do what he has to do. We need to understand that when all the tares in our soul are removed, listen how I worded this, we need to understand that when all the tares in our soul are removed, number one, we become like Jesus. Number two, we become the tabernacle of God. And number three, a manifestation of the sons of God. We need to understand that when all the tares in our soul are removed, then we become like Jesus. We become a tabernacle, and we have the manifestation of God moving through us. The parable of the tares and the wheat indicates that there will be sons of the kingdom, the good seed, on earth before the Lord returns. Jesus will come to a bridal company that does the very same things that he did and the greater works that he promised. Now, God's trying to take the body of Christ into the greater works. He's trying to get us prepared to go forth and do the greater works. But are you allowing him to remove the tares? Are you allowing him to clean you up inside out? Are you allowing him to do what he needs to do in order to put his anointing and his spirit in you? I want you to think about this. Do you know how many people that are in church are sitting in church deceived? They think they're doing the will of the Father. They think they're going straight to heaven and they're going straight to hell. I'm saying that because that's what God told me. So, you know, if I was you, I'd check my walk every day. I would make sure that what I was doing was what God would have me to do, and I'd make sure I was not working for the devil, but I was working for God. All right, I said the parable of the tares and the wheat indicates that there will be sons of the kingdom, the good seed, on earth before the Lord returns. Jesus will come to a bridal company that does the very same things that he did and the greater works that he promised. In other words, when the rapture takes place, there will be God's people still here on this earth. Some people already know that they will be, you know, stay behind to help bring in the lost and the dying that didn't come before. Discipling the first wave harvest. The second reason why training in inner healing is so needed in the church today is that the church needs to be equipped and ready to disciple the masses of youth that are about to come in during the first wave of the end time harvest. The second reason why training in inner healing is so needed, we need to be healed from the inside out. Every fiber of our being has to be healed. They will be on fire for God. This end time harvest will be on fire for God, but full of trauma and wounds and tears of the soul that have been sown into them by the gathering forces of darkness that are dominating the secular culture of our world. The people coming in off the street are going to be, they're going to love God. They're going to be excited for God, just like those two young men were. And, you know, but yet the devil's going to have full control on the inside of them. So this is why we need to be cleaned up from the inside out so that we can help clean up those. You know, God can work through us as vessels to help clean up those that he sends in so they can go forth and do the mighty works that God wants them to do. I've noticed one thing. People who sell their souls to Satan all their life and live for him, then they find out about Jesus Christ and they fall in love with him and give their heart to him. The ones that go to work for him immediately are the ones that are going to stay free. In other words, they're so excited for God, even though they're bound up, they're so excited for God they can't stand themselves. And they go through deliverances, they get themselves set free. They're the ones that God's going to use. And then you have the others who have lived for the devil all their life. And they hear about Jesus, but they don't really get excited about Jesus. They don't really clean themselves up. They still hold on to a bunch of junk. They never get set free. They just sit and spin their wheels. Come on. You've seen that. We've witnessed that here. And one thing about people that used to work for the devil with all their heart and then find about the true Jesus and give their heart to him and start working for him right away, they're not going to quit. How many books have you read where people who were really sold out to Satan 100% and somehow or other they heard about Jesus Christ, the true Jesus Christ, they quit the devil and moved into Jesus' territory and started ministering for God right away. And even though they were ministering for God, they were still tormented by the enemy, but they didn't give in to the torments of the enemy. They didn't go back. They didn't go back into that old lifestyle. They stayed free. No, it took a fight, and it'll take a fight till the day they die. God showed that to me not too long ago. You will fight the enemy all your life until the day you die. Why? Because you were a good vessel for him to work through. Then you had the audacity to walk away from him. And now God's using you to tear down his kingdom because you know things about his kingdom that people that weren't bound up will never know. And you know the destruction that he does, you know, Satan does. So therefore, you're going to go out into the highways and the byways and you're going to tell the people about what Satan will do to you. And then you'll tell them what Jesus will do for you. And you'll win souls. And Satan doesn't want that. He does not want that. He wants to keep at you and keep at you and keep at you to make you stay in his realm. There it is in a nutshell. We're in a tug of war. Jesus wants our soul. Satan wants our soul. I say that because that's what God told me. And he said to me, it's up to me who wins this battle. So who's winning your battle? Are you winning the battle or is Satan winning the battle? See, it's all up to you. It's your vessel. It's your walk. And God's calling holy people. Not people who deceive themselves into thinking they're holy. He's calling holy people, true holy people. People who are sold out totally and completely to God. I'm so glad that some of the people I see sitting in the house of God... I'm not glad they won't be in heaven, but I'm glad I won't have to sit with them in heavenly places. But because they sit in the church totally deceived and are in sin, thinking they're going to heaven. Then I'd have to sit up there with them and all that deception again. That wouldn't be right. And that's my mindset. You know, I've had enough of it down here. I don't want to go to heaven and have to live with it there. And we're not going to have to because everybody's in heaven is going to be holy. They're going to be just. They're going to be pure. Aren't you glad? Isn't this world terrible to live in right now? Jeez. I mean, it's awful. And when somebody dies, I say, thank God. I don't cry about them. Thank God because you're out of this mess, right? And I wouldn't, you know, right at this point in my life, I would not pray anybody back. Like I used to. I really wouldn't because I wouldn't want them to go back into this mess. You know? That's why the one young man said, please let me stay with the Father. Please quit praying and bringing me back because I've been in heaven and I don't want to come back to earth because heaven is so wonderful. Amen? To walk with God, a third reason why inner healing is for today is to make us ready to walk into the destiny God has prepared for us. Emotional woundings are built on lies and deception and tend to represent hardened parts of our heart that are inaccessible to God. Let's read that again. Emotional woundings are built on lies and deception and tend to represent hardened parts of our heart that are inaccessible to God. Our emotional wounds tend to separate us from God. They represent the unsanctified parts of our hearts. You know, if I was you guys, I'd watch my facial expressions. Twice now I've looked at somebody's face and boy, what I saw was not godly. And it was in this church. Envy, jealousy, hate. When you're around me, watch your facial expression. Put on a false smile if you have to. Excuse me, because I see right through you. So therefore, if your face is portraying that, that's coming from your heart. That's coming from what we just now talked about, emotional woundings. And you're inaccessible to God because you won't let go of those hurts. My gosh, those hurts are not worth going to hell for. Those wounds are not worth losing your anointing. They're not. Why do you want, the people that hurt you were messed up, were they not? Then why would you want to be in the same realm that they're in, right? And as long as you give into this, into the junk they fed into your life, you're in the same, you can quit judging them because you're in the same ball court that they're in. You're just as messed up as they are, except in a different way. See, we never look at that like that, do we? We just look at, well, look how messed up they are. But if you're always in strife and bitterness and envy and jealousy and all that junk, you're in the same mess they are. Right there with them. Let's get it together. Let's be honest with ourselves. And let's just make Jesus Lord of our life. The tears in our souls limit how close we can get to God and how much He can trust us with the powerful end-time anointings and mantles that are coming available. Do you understand what God did in here this morning? I don't think you really do. God touched everybody powerfully this morning. When I went to my car, the anointing was still on me. I still wanted to cry. The anointing was so strong, but did you really receive that strong anointing that God was placing upon you? I said goodbye to some of you, and I watched some of you, and I could tell you still had the anointing on you, and that really excited me. But others just was going around, you know, like nothing ever occurred. You know, come on. But, you know, when you really have a true encounter with God, you won't act like you did before you went down. You won't go into the same thing, you know, every day, same thing, because you'll want to stay in that cocoon, that anointing. And you treasure it, and you wanted to stay with you as long as possible. That's why I used to like driving back and forth to church by myself years ago, because nobody could steal anything. I could just come in the anointing and leave in the anointing and keep it till I got home or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes you have people in the car, they can take the anointing just like that and suck it right out of you, just like we read about this morning. Okay, where am I at? It is for this very reason that emotional healing is much higher on God's end time agenda than physical healing, although He is going to use both mightily. So let's read that again. The tears in our souls limit how close we can get to God and how much He can trust us with the powerful end time anointings and mantles that are coming available. It is for this very reason that emotional healing is much higher on God's end time agenda than physical healing. You know, a lot of times people want a physical healing, and really what they need is an inner healing. We had a young man that really died on us, and God said wormwood. And I told him that, and his wife got upset and wouldn't let him repent of anything. He died, and she couldn't figure out why we couldn't keep him alive. It wasn't us. It isn't us anyhow, but she meant us praying for him. It was them. She wouldn't let him admit that he had a problem. And so he died with that problem. So I don't know where he went. I really don't. I haven't asked because I have too many other things to do that it's already over with. But see, you need to quit that. You know, don't, if God says something to your husband, your wife, or your friend that's bad, don't say, oh, no. You know, let them admit, yes, I've got the problem, and then let them go ahead and repent and let them get cleaned up. So if they do die, they go to heaven. Amen. All right. This is a time in Christian history when God is wooing His church as never before. We know that. There are times when the Lord extends His scepter and things that were not possible become possible. You know, as I was writing that, I thought about how many people in here God has said, I'm extending my scepter to you. So what he was saying, the impossible is now possible because I've given you my scepter. When God moves and revival comes, there is a grace there that is not present before or after. There is, when God moves and revival comes, there is a grace there that is not present before or after. And when God was speaking to us this morning, he kept saying something about grace and more grace or something like that. And I got excited because when he told me this, when I was typing this up, so that grace he was talking about this morning. So if when God moves and revival comes, there is a grace there that is not present before or after. That means God was telling us, I'm going to give you more grace than you've ever. I think he even said it that way. I'm going to give you more grace than I've ever given you before. So that means revival's getting ready to happen. Amen. Man, it's getting ready to happen. So you have to get this in your spirit so that you're ready for the revival that God's bringing. If you don't get it in your spirit, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go on. We have entered a period when the veil between the natural and supernatural realms has become very thin. The door is open to come up here and pass back and forth between the spiritual and physical planes of existence. Portals are open. Everybody's talking about open portals right now. Portals are open doors to heaven. That's what portals are. Open doors to heaven. Portals give us open access to an open heaven. Portals bring heaven to earth and are doors to the spirit realm. Remember when I was standing there and God said, you work under an open heaven? So I'm typing something and I said, ding, 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 ding. The light bulb goes off and on, burns my head off, you know. All those times I could have went to heaven back and forth all I wanted to go because God said, you're now working under an open heaven. In other words, he opened up the windows of heaven, a portal, and I could have come and went. I kept preaching about it, but I didn't do it. Missed my time of visitation. Are you listening to this? Some portals will be healing pools and anyone who comes into them will be healed. Number two, other portals will be places of profound revelation. Number three, some will be in churches. Number four, some will be in geographical areas. And number five, some will be connected with movements and leaders and will move with them. So if you're walking through, if God's opened up a portal over you and you're walking under an open heaven, wherever you go, there goes the anointing with you. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Come on. Number six, and some will be hidden and only known by those who God calls to those places to be commissioned. I don't know about you, but I'm so on fire right now I can't hardly stand myself because I'm so excited with what God is getting ready to pour out upon his people. And you know, sometimes I sit at home and I cry knowing that the church is going to miss out on it and the world's going to receive it. The world that we talk about, how bad and how dark and how gloomy it is, they are going to receive what we won't. I'm not going to say we, but some won't. All right? So don't put yourself in that category if you're not there. I don't want to curse you. Amen? The Enoch mantle. There is already right now an end time anointing to walk with God. There is. Some are calling it the Enoch mantle. God wants his church to walk with him like Enoch walked with him. We are going to have to learn to do that. Come on. Jesus told us in Matthew 24:37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. There were a lot of bad things occurring in Noah's days. And when I was first born again in 1977, God said, you are living in the days of Noah. And from that day forward, when I became born again, things kept getting darker and darker and darker till the gross darkness has finally come upon us. But don't you believe we were walking in the days of Noah before 1977? Of course we were. We were walking in a long time before that. I just didn't know it, so he had to enlighten me. All right, so there were a lot of bad things occurring in Noah's days, but remember, Enoch was a contemporary of Noah. Genesis 5:22. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and begot sons and daughters. He was holy for 300 years, guys, after he had this one child. So he must have been holy before too. You can't be holy for one day. right? Well, that girl shouldn't have worn such a short skirt. Made me look. No, it didn't. That was you that looked. It wasn't the short skirt. Okay, so then he begot sons after 300 years. Then begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So this man for 365 years walked a holy walk. Get out of here with your excuses, Barbara. I'm talking to myself. I forgot another Barbara. Do you understand what I'm saying? But God, I the temptations are everywhere. Enoch had them too. 365 years he walked perfect. Then one day God just up and took him. On your way, say, oh God, I'm tired and I'm weary. Just go ahead and take me home. So he said, okay, and gives you a heart attack and let you go lay in the casket. Fifth Enoch, and Enoch was gone, right? I don't want a heart attack laying in the casket. Amen. I would like to be like Enoch. I can't confess to be like Enoch, but I would like to be like Enoch. Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated so that he did not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How many of you can honestly say in your heart of hearts right now, I please God? Get up at the altar and repent if you said you could, because you just lied. Enoch was alive for part of Adam's life and must have heard many stories about how it was to walk with God in the Garden of Eden. That would have been neat too, wouldn't it? Ultimately, Enoch learned many things in his own walk with the Lord and was continually going back and forth to heaven and being shown numerous future events, which he recorded in the book of Enoch, before he was permanently translated into heaven. Enoch went back and forth to heaven. God's been telling us you can go just any. This one lady says she just goes to heaven anytime she feels like it. Do you know why we don't do that? We don't have enough faith to do that. That's what it all amounts to. We don't have enough faith to say, okay, God, I'm coming up to visit you today. Then you stand there. Am I really going to go? You know, no, you don't have enough faith for that. Get your faith working, Barbara. I'm talking to me. All right? Okay. Enoch was a seventh from Adam and the number of seven of completeness. The number seven of completeness. As we approach the seventh day in the calendar of God's purposes, the spirit and mantles of Enoch are going to be seen in the church. Come on. The spirit and mantles of Enoch are going to be seen in the church. God wants to do that. Come on. Where's Brother Brad at? I haven't seen him around for 2 days. Did he go somewhere? Look high and low, and lo and behold, God didn't translate him. He's in the corner eating. What I'm saying here is, you know, one of us just might do that. You know, we just might be David sitting back there, you know, God could, he could just be sitting in his car or doing something, and all of a sudden he's not anymore because God just took him and translated him to heaven. Not going to put Brett in that category yet. Amen. God is beginning to release the spirit of Enoch for those who have ears to hear, hearts to perceive, and a desire for it. God is beginning to release the spirit of Enoch for those who have ears to hear what we just spoke. All right. Hearts to perceive what we're talking about and a desire for it. Enoch's mantle is becoming available. Enoch walked back and forth to heaven anytime he wanted to. None of us have that mantle yet because I haven't heard any stories. Come on. Come on. To those who are determined to have a walk with God, hungry and thirsty for the supernatural, that's who's going to get the Enoch mantle. To those who are determined to have a walk with God, hungry and thirsty for the supernatural. If we settle for less, that is what we will get. However, if we say, I want to go there, all we need is in an open heaven to equip us. I have the open heaven now. I just have to go, right? Large numbers of people will experience going back and forth in and out of heaven. Wouldn't you love that? Even if you're sitting here right now, all of a sudden your body's still there, but God takes your spirit, and you're just sitting there looking at me, I think. And you're not even there, because God just came and translated your spirit up to heaven. Come on. From now on, when somebody just sits there and looks at me like they're dead, I'm going to go back and shake and make sure they're there, and that their spirit hasn't gone to heaven for a while. You young kids sit here like you're bored to death. You know, if you would just get faith and get yourself right, you have to get yourself right, you could be sitting here and God could come and translate one of y'all. Come on. He's doing that to kids all over the world. Not in Delaware. You're Delawareans. You don't believe nothing. Where am I at here? Where am I at, Nancy? Oh, other mantles are about to be released as well. To receive these mantles, you have to go after them. Come on. We must decide if we are going to participate in this last day's outpouring or just observe from the sidelines. What did God tell us about the river? Told us quite a few years ago that the river was here. If you didn't jump in then, you were going to be one of those when everything was happening, you were going to be standing on the sidelines watching what was happening, and you're going to want to get in and you're not going to be able to get in. So we must decide if we are going to participate in this last day's outpouring or just observe from the sidelines. To sum this all up, greater than ever before, we need inner healing in the church today. You know, I'm so sick and tired of the spirit of offense. It's O-F-F-E-N-C-E. Not fence, but offense. I'm so sick and tired of talking to people and they get offended just because you didn't say it pretty. Well, I don't say things pretty. I'm very businesslike. And that's the way I am. I've always been like that. My father and mother taught me to be like that, and that's a good way to be. Be businesslike, and you know, I'm not going to beat around the bush with you, and if you beat around the bush with me, then you're in trouble. I'm not. You are. And, you know, and so if you really don't like the way I talk, then don't ask me nothing. You know, because I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the way it is. I went through that stage when I first born again. You know, I just forgot. I forgot my mind somewhere. And I let everybody walk all over me. You know, and I even gave up my authority. And then next thing you know, I was a mess because everybody else was taking over. Then I had to take back my land, and now I'm taking it back again. And it's harder to take it back than it is to lose it. You can lose it overnight, but it's hard to get it back again, because then it's a fight. So if you have land, you know, I'm just talking about your life. Don't let the enemy steal it, as he uses people to do that. So just quit. So this is my pea field. I like that story. And you're not stealing my peas any longer. Amen. To avoid the mistakes of the past, are you listening? Those who are going to be elevated into supernatural giftings will become targets of the enemy. Hello? To avoid the mistakes of the past, those who are going to be elevated into supernatural giftings will become targets of the enemy. Satan can only attack us in places that are not dedicated to the Lord. Somebody had the audacity to tell me I wasn't loving. So I had the audacity to write them an email and say, I can't believe you said that. Come on. I'm not loving because I didn't bow. I'm never going to bow to Jezebel's spirit. And don't you all either. You don't have to do that. The truth is the truth. The fact is a fact. Well, I'll just quit the church. Have at it. Have a good time. And you go with our blessing. But don't look at me and tell me, oh, no, email me and tell me I'm not loving. Amen. That upset me. I worked too hard to stay in the love walk. for you to tell me I'm not loving. I work hard every day at doing that. Then I get an email like that, you know, that really messes me up. Amen. And somebody said to me the other day, all you care about is yourself. And boy, that set me in a tizzy. It wasn't anybody from the church. It's somebody in my home. I thought, what? You know, the devil will tell you about anything, won't he? See, the devil doesn't want me to go back and forth to heaven. He's trying to get me messed up. He doesn't want me to have the Enoch mantle. Thank you. I receive it right now in Jesus' name, just because you said so. But you see how the devil works? By the time God's ready to drop the mantle, Enoch mantle on me, then somebody says, oh, you think about it yourself. Then I say, what? And then there goes, you know, I get smoke coming out my ears and everything else. You know what I'm saying? You check your own life. Isn't that what happens? You're walking along having a good time, you know, just walking with God and talking to God. And all of a sudden somebody goes up with some stupid words that aren't even true. Maybe I should handle it wrong. Maybe I should have said, well, I'm sorry that I'm not very loving. Can you teach me how to love better? You know, right? I was just joking. Okay. So I said Satan can only attack us in places that are not dedicated to the Lord. The tears of our soul need to be extracted and those wounded places healed. You know, as I was typing this, I thought, you know, God, every now and then, you know, I'm wounded. I get wounded the same as y'all do. And I really have to work on that. You know, I really have to work on keeping that part of me healed. Because I know what it'll do to me. It'll take me right out of the will of the Father. You know? So, it's an everyday experience that you have, keeping yourself free. I'm going to talk to Enoch and ask him how he did that. Amen. Let's just go to heaven just for that purpose. Find Enoch and say, Enoch, how did you walk 365 years and was so pleasing to the Father? See, that's an assignment. We're going to do that, right? All right, the tears of our soul need to be extracted and those wounded places healed so that when the power and anointings come, we won't fall into sin. Number two, so we can be equipped to provide inner healing, deliverance, and discipleship for the first wave of the end time harvest. In other words, we will be able to go ahead and provide healing to everybody that comes through the door. I've noticed one thing. If you're messed up and you start talking to somebody else that's messed up, they start telling you their problems. Next thing you know, you're telling them your problems. You have inner healing that needs to be taken care of. Amen. See, when they start talking about all their problems, and that triggers that spirit inside of you, and then that spirit has to get sound the bell too. After all, you're not the only one that's hurting. I'm hurting too, type thing, you know. So when that bell goes off, say, well, where's the deliverance team? Sign me up, right? Something's not quite right there. Number three, so we can walk with God and enter into his destiny for us. What are we talking about here? I forgot what he was talking about. All right. I said the tears of our soul need to be extracted and those wounded places healed for number one, so that when the power and anointings come, we won't fall into sin. Number two, pride will go in there, you know. Number two, so we can be equipped to provide inner healing, deliverance, and discipleship for the first wave of the end time harvest. And number three, so we can walk with God and enter into his destiny for us. So we can walk with God and enter into his destiny for us. The unhealed places in our heart are barriers to greater intimacy with God. The unhealed places in our heart are barriers to greater intimacy with God. To take up the Enoch mantle, we need to overcome everything in us that is not of God. That's a big assignment, isn't it? Because you've been working on it for quite a few years and haven't yet accomplished that, right? To take up the Enoch mantle, that should be an encouragement right there. We need to overcome everything in us that is not of God. The unhealed places in our heart are barriers to greater intimacy with God. Remember when I was first born again, I was in that church and God showed me somebody's back and the brick wall built around the heart. And I said, God, what are you showing me? He said, I'm showing you your heart. You build a wall around it so you won't ever be hurt again. He said, if I'm going to use you, if we're going to have intimacy together, I have to tear down that wall. And when I tear it down, your heart's going to be exposed to be hurt over and over and over again. Will you let me tear the wall down? And me and my anxiousness, I said, yes, Lord, do it, do it. And I saw the wall fall. And then the heart started to be hurting all over again. Then years and years and years later, God showed me myself with a couple layers of the bricks built up again. And God spoke and said, daughter, you're building the wall again. I have to tear it down or I can't use you. So I let him tear it down again. I'm not going to build it again. So what are you doing with your heart? Are you building a wall around it so it can't be hurt? Then God can't use you. God told me that. I just can't use you because we can't be intimate with one another with a wall around your heart. I'm hearing God say, God will attack any exposed area in you. So God is saying anything that's in you that's not of God, Satan can attack. So to prevent those attacks, God's saying, have them healed. Amen. How many girls have been raped when they was 3-4 years old? That's an inner wound. And it stays with them all their life. Rape, for some reason or other, is the worst thing in the world that could happen to a woman, and probably to men too. It just does something terrible to you. It destroys you. And so what we have to do is give that to God. Let him heal you of that experience. And when Satan tries to bring it back to you, remember, say, no, that girl doesn't exist anymore. I'm a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And that person that was hurt is dead and gone. It's up in heaven with the Father. And I'm not going to receive anything of this ever again. And then mean it when you say it. And don't let him come back and attack you again. Are you hearing me here? You know, if we're sitting around wishing we had the woman down on the street, or you kids are in school, oh, look at that nice looking guy, I'd want to go to bed with him. You're not going to have any intimacy with God. You're not. If you will put God first, he'll bring everything to you. But if you keep going down that road, you're not going to receive anything from God. Amen. You know, you girls, you can go through high school and never have a boyfriend. Never write a love letter to nobody. Never get telephone calls. I did that. Didn't bother me any. Did you do that too, Mary? I mean, I lived a happy life. I didn't have no boy trying to get me in a bedroom somewhere or behind a bush. You know, I was just going to church and being happy with God. Didn't even know what I was doing. Just doing it. And I was happy, and I didn't have a happy home to live in either. You know, I had a real cruel stepmother who wasn't nice at all to any one of us. But that didn't make me run to a man, a boy, because I was young then. I kept going to church. Didn't know what I was doing. I didn't lose out on anything because all my friends, they either became alcoholics, got pregnant, and were put in jail, whatever. I mean, all not my friends, but the kids in the school. I was happy. I didn't have any problems. I didn't have any addictions. My best girlfriend, she tried to get me a smoke. I said, I'm not smoking that cigarette. And I didn't know why I shouldn't smoke that cigarette, but I would never smoke that cigarette. And I'm so glad I did. That did not smoke the cigarette. So I didn't lose anything. Now I don't have to fight to quit. Are you seeing? You know, what's wrong with you kids? I would check my head and see if my brain was still there. Or make sure it's not in your shoes. But it's up here where it belongs. And I'd ask God just to come and do something with my brain. Because you're not thinking right. Right? Some of you married women too. And men, you need to do the same thing, right? You got your eyes rolling all over the place looking at things you shouldn't look at. You need to say, God, just straighten out my eyes. right? Because they do what I want them to do. I look. Don't blame it on the devil. Come on. I heard a real tall man one time say that he liked being tall because he could look down in women's blouses. I thought, what? I mean, you know, you hear all kind of dumb things in the house of God. Come on. You know, are we holy or are we not holy? You're not going to get the Enoch anointing walking around thinking things like that. You're just not. You're not going to receive any of these other anointings that God wants to pour upon his people if your mind is out of control. You can get your mind back into control. You might have to beat your head to death, but you can get your mind back into control. How many of you say, mind straighten up in Jesus' name? I do that. I'm lined up with the word of God. God doesn't think like that. When you say, we should all just die and go to hell. Now, that's not God thinking that. So you smack yourself in the head and say, quit. Quit thinking like that. Or you understand what I'm trying to show you here? We need to get it together. So that I don't know about you, but I want the Enoch anointing. I want to be able to walk from earth to heaven. I preach about it and everything. Now I'm going to get serious about it. I found out today I preached about it, but haven't been serious enough about it, or I'd be doing that. Because God said I could. And God told me, you always settle for second best, and I'm with you at the very best. So he doesn't want me down here picking with the chickens. You know? He wants us up in heavenly places. Soaring with the eagles. Come on. One time God gave me a picture of his saints walking around, you know, pick, 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 pick. And, you know, and he said he doesn't want us doing that. He wants us soar in heavenly places. That's why I said that. And when we sit down here and we could be going to heaven, we could have the Enoch anointing and we could be running back and forth to heaven, talking to all the saints and everything else. If Jesse Duplantis can do it, we can do it. He used to be the biggest whoremonger and drug addict in the world. You know, that's his testimony. So if God can clean him up and he can do that, we can too. Todd Bentley, I'm trying to think of some others. But, you know, if God did it to them, I even said, God, if you can do that, and all these books I have with these people were, you know, they were demon-possessed and worked for the devil, if you can clean them up and use them and they can go to heaven, I can too. And not die and go to heaven, but go to heaven alive so I can come back and report what's up there. This church should be just going to heaven all the time. Coming back and just getting so excited, our emails should be just flooded out with what you saw in heaven. We should. Because God has taught us so much lately. And he's opened the windows of heaven. And all we have to do is go. Just go. You know, we talk about the chariots all the time that Kathy Walters' ministry has. Excuse me. And I read a few testimonies where they didn't even believe it. And all of a sudden they were sitting there, and all of a sudden they were there in the chariot, you know. And it's like Sister Nancy, whenever she told me, described hers, I thought, well, that's different. But then I read some other testimonies. There's different than hers, you know. More different than hers really is the right way to say that. So why not? What are we waiting on? We're waiting on God to stand and say, come on. He's not going to do that. He's already given us, he's already been teaching us we can go there. I don't know that young man's name back there, but the white hair. God said, you're going to have that experience. You're going to have that Enoch experience. And you are truly going to go to heaven. And you're going to come back alive and vibrant, telling us what you've seen. He said, your heart is so excited about these things, that these deeper things in him, that you're actually going to go. See, you know, and God looks at our heart all the time. Do you really want to go? Or are you just saying you want to go? Is what he's looking at, you know. He's checking us out. He's checking us out. And God told me today, he said, daughter, every time I have you have an altar call and those people go down, I take them someplace. And I said, where do you take them, Lord? He says, each one goes to a different place. He said, I always do something to them. I touch them in some special way. So whenever he told me that, when I was, you know, before I had a church, I would go all the time. Every time they had an altar call, I would go up there and boy, bloop, out I go. And I don't know where I went. I don't know what God did, but I do know one thing. Slowly but surely, my life changed. You know, So you had to have an experience somewhere, somehow. So, and I was thinking, boy, if I was those people, I wouldn't be sitting back there in that seat. When I gave an altar call, I'd be running up here and letting God knock me down. Amen. And the reason why you can't go down, and I'll say this till the day I die, is because you still have a religious spirit. You're not open to the Holy Spirit, and therefore God can't move on you. Because if you're walking in the Spirit, you can't stand when you come up here. Ask Astrid, she'll tell you. But, you know, so what do you really want from God tonight is the question he's asking you. If you really want the Enoch mantle, he says, I'll give it to you. I'm also here to say, but I'm going to check your heart too. So if you want the Enoch mantle, just come on up. If you want the different anointings, it's the anointing of fire that God's given, just come on up. And he's telling me he does not want this church to ever be the same again. He wants this church to be so vibrant and so alive and so on fire that people will flock to the doors to have what you have. They'll want what you're getting. So get it all, he's telling me to tell you, get it all.